Hello and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Let's get right to today's show. Before there was Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Teddy Bridgewater, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, there were Marlon Briscoe, Warren Moon, Doug Williams, the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl, Dante Culpepper, Cordell Stewart, Randall Cunningham, Rodney Peete, just to name a few. Listen, in 100 years of the NFL, black quarterbacks in this league, unfortunately, were always a rarity. But growing up in Philadelphia, we had Randall Cunningham, Rodney Peete, and then yes, the first black quarterback to take the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl, Mr. Donovan McNabb. Today, I'm excited to have Wilma Sharp McNabb to talk about Donovan's journey as the black quarterback in high school, college, and yes, in the city of booze and brotherly love. But Donovan isn't the only star in his family. Mama McNabb, a Campbell's Soup commercial pioneer, is also a trailblazer in her own right. Welcome, Wilma Sharp McNabb. I just have to say that when Sharp McNabb came on the scene, she is the one who really put Campbell's Soup on the map, right? Because I think it was back in 2002, you know, when she began doing those commercials, and they were so popular that even SNL did a skit on it. So she was like the official NFL mom. Like, she put sports mom on the map. So welcome to Raising a Pro, you superstar, you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Annie. And, you know, Annie Apple, that's a cute name. We could put that in lights.
You know, Annie, that's Apple. The kind of name that you can't cuss nobody out at the grocery store because you have the happiest name in the world, right?
You do have a happy name. Thank you. And I appreciate being asked to be a part of Raising a Pro. I remember when I first met you, and that's been a couple of years, and we've all lost time during this pandemic time. So we really don't know what day we are on now.
I know, because it was probably like, it was like 3 years ago.
I know. Yes, it was. And it's funny because we talked about the Campbell's Soup commercial. And in the beginning, when Campbell's used to use actresses with sons in the NFL. So I thought that was just really odd. So I would go and ask Donovan's marketing agent. I'm like, you need to work on that. They need to use the real mom. So I did a real mom campaign, working on that and working on that. He said, Ms. Nav, you know, they say that they need people who are already experienced in the acting actress field because they only have.
This soup good. Eat the soup.
Seriously. So I said, really? She said, because they only have a day or two to do it and they don't want a novice or a rookie, I guess they call me. So I said, no, you need to give it a chance. So it's funny. Worked on that, you know, and then I forgot about it. And then one day I got a call and look, I was at a spa getting a massage. And I got the call. I sat down and it was Donovan's agent. And he said, guess what? Are you sitting down? And I said, yes. And he said, they're going to use the real moms. So I was so appreciative to be the first to get that campaign. And since then, it's always a mom that was in the commercial.
I never knew that.
Yes.
I never knew that backstory.
Yes.
Because I remember back in the day, Campbell's, who they, you like, that's not his mama.
Right.
You need real mama.
Seriously. They had Terrell Davis was one of the first commercial people, and that was not his mother. So I'm like, wonder why they did that. Well, now when Mama McNabb came.
I mean, listen, moms, we are great actresses.
Yes.
You know, when our kids can't sing, we sit up there and sit through that bad note.
Right.
You know what I mean? When they come and draw that picture, it's not quite Picasso, but we smile and cheer them on. Like, we are actors.
We know how to act. We do.
We know how to act.
Yes, we do.
Because we taught them how to act.
We were the longest running Campbell's Soup commercial. We did it for 6 years.
Wow. That was awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad we got that piece of black history up in there.
Very good. Very good.
So let's go back to the beginning. You and your husband, you're a nurse. You have two sons.
Yes.
So tell us about growing up. When did Donovan and Sean, I don't know if Sean played football also, but when did, you know, your boys get really introduced to sports? Because you had them busy. You had them booked and busy in Chicago.
Sports was it. Sports was the thing, you know, and you get them occupied in something other than hanging out. And sports was it. My husband played sports. He was a basketball player, even in the Navy when he was in the military. He played on a Navy basketball team. So he made sure that his sons got into playing sports. That was our everyday living. You know, when you're not in school, then you're at a practice somewhere. And so other women used to say, aren't you sick of that? That's all you do. And I said, well, no, it's a way of life. If you want to raise your kids, they need to learn how to be a team player. And they learn that in sports. I mean, Donovan played basketball. He played football. He ran track. He did all the gamut. And his brother started it. And his brother focused more. He played football. And Sean was a tight end. But he wanted more basketball, Sean did. And so, you know, he went on. And Donovan looked up to Sean. So when it was time for Donovan to do, he went in and he went to a different school. They both were in parochial schools. And Donovan decided to go to an all-boys school and play football. This was a mega football high school in Chicago called Mount Carmel. And he did. And he did very, very well. And he got a scholarship to go on to Syracuse.
It was Syracuse. It was between Syracuse and Nebraska. What made Syracuse the choice?
And why we thought about Nebraska, because they had a black quarterback there. And his name was Tommy. Can't think of his last name, but it was between the two. And we thought, OK, they're used to black quarterback. And so did Syracuse as well. And so it just ended up, we broke it down to the two and we had the coaches come out. We had question and answer. We were prepared for when they came in order to go through that admission. And I don't know, somehow Donovan wanted, and my husband thought Syracuse would be the better fit for him.
Let me stop you right there, because I think being a mother who, you know, we've gone through football, I have so many friends and people who've gone through football. I remember Eli played quarterback when he was in middle school. And by the time he got to high school, he was very good quarterback. But I think what he was told then was like, you know, you'll be much better recruited if you are, you know, because he played quarterback, then he also played defense, which was corner. They're like, you'll get recruited better on defense than you would, because not many people were letting black quarterbacks live their best life.
Yes.
You know, even in that time, and you know, Eli's time was like, what, 2012, 2009, whatever. So we're going back to Donovan's time. How was it then? Was there ever a time where coaches tried to talk him out? Maybe you should be wide receiver. Maybe you should be tight end. Maybe you should be anything. Because it's very hard for black quarterbacks in high school to stay that course. How did you guys, you know, make sure that no one tried to change his position?
That is a good question, because, of course, it did happen. And because we were looking at Illinois at first, you know, we lived in Illinois. And, of course, Illinois brought that up, that maybe we should change his position. It said, no, we're not changing his position. So if you have been ruled out, if you thinking that Donovan is not going to play quarterback, that's what he wants to do. So between Syracuse, as I said, and Nebraska, they had already had a black quarterback and they weren't going to change his position if he went there. And that helped us. They did. They talked that a lot of the colleges, you are correct. Absolutely correct. That we stood our ground and said, if you don't want him for quarterback, then Donovan is not the choice for you.
I've seen black kids that can play every single position and they're great quarterbacks, even in high school, but they're always talked out of it. And it's like that position, even in the NFL, it's always deterring the kids from being, because I guess a quarterback maybe is the face of the team. I don't know why it is that black kids are always talked out of being a quarterback, or for some reason, you can't play the quarterback position.
You know why it is.
I do.
So you don't ask me why it is.
I know.
And everybody like us know why it is. Because they said being a quarterback is a head game and you have to be intelligent. And they don't think that we have that. Now, Donovan graduated from Syracuse.
And Donovan was no scrub at Syracuse. He threw, I believe, the longest pass ever in the school history. Was it like a 96 yarder?
And guess who that was too? That was to Marvin Harrison, who went on to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes, the Colts. Yes.
And funny, because Marvin Harrison was from Philadelphia. And not to get off the subject, but Myron was the first person I ever knew personally to go into the league. He went number 19 in the first round. But Marvin, he threw it to Marvin Harrison. And it's just odd. But so when we got recruited, Miss Harrison called me and said, "You're coming to my city. I'm going to help you through this." So she was my mentor, Linda Harrison, Marvin's mother. We were so proud and just so happy because Donovan got drafted number 2 in the first round. So we had made the right decision.
And also at Syracuse, he was named Big East Offensive Player of the Decade. Yes. In the night. I mean, like, he did the thing there. And kudos to you and Papa McNabb, Sam, that you guys stood the ground. Because I think sometimes as parents, you know, you just want your kid to get scholarship. You just want him to get out there. So you let the coaches and whoever else talk you to whoever else. But I do believe that as parents, we are our kids' first line of defense and we are their advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I believe in your skills. I believe in your God-given talent. And we're going to be quarterback. And we're going to go whoever respects that we're going to be quarterback. So kudos for you guys to make that happen. So he did well in college. And so it was time for the draft. When did you guys know, okay, yeah, this is the time. It's, you know, like Donovan was like, "I'm ready to go. You know, we're ready to do this." And how excited was your family about this draft prospect?
Well, we had, my husband and I had a little tangle with that because I wanted to make sure that Donovan graduated from college. A scholarship is no easy thing to get. So if they've given you money to come to their school, you're going to get what you're supposed to get out of that.
Let me pause you right there. They give you money, but you give them a whole lot more.
Well, that's true. But he needed that piece of paper too, though. Yeah. He had to do his part. And that was my thing. You're right. You are absolutely right.
Shoot, there's no free education in college sports, let me just tell you.
No, it's not. But you have to do what you have to do. And I wanted to make sure he graduated. So that's why he didn't come out early. He wanted to come out early. But I'm like, no, we're not coming out. We're going to get that degree. And he did. He really did. He graduated. And funny, when he graduated, he said, "Come on, Ma, let's go on and get your degree." Yeah, you're going to get it because, you know, you were blessed to get a scholarship. If it's meant for you to go in the league, you'll go in the league. But first of all, you're going to get this degree. And he did.
So Donovan got his degree because Mama wasn't having it.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about the draft. Because I know when he was drafted, Philadelphia boos everybody, right? They even boo Santa.
Well, we had Andy Reid. And Andy Reid was a new coach as well. And so the agent, you know, they had did a lot of visits to it. And they thought, they knew that Philadelphia was going to draft him. We all knew that. So you go to the draft and you go through all of your everything that's going on. They have a lot of activities going on. There was another black quarterback, I think they invite like the top 10 or so. And they had a couple of other quarterbacks there. We might've been the only black quarterback that was invited. Cade McNown, I remember him. I think he was there. I think he might have been. Who went number one? It was one of them because Cleveland was the first pick that year and Philadelphia was second. And so Cleveland had told us already, and they had told the agent that we will never have a black quarterback.
Ooh, no, they didn't.
You know what we have to hear and what we have to go through for life. Because really, I'm going to jump back to high school when Donovan was at Mount Carmel in high school, when he ended up getting that starting position. Most of the kids there were not. He was the first all black quarterback that they had. And that school had a fit in the beginning. And the coach said, "They're not going to tell me what to do." They called some bad names. They didn't like Donovan being the quarterback, but Donovan did well for them at Mount Carmel. So we've always had issues. We always had to go through something.
So racism isn't something black people invented and make up. It's actually real.
Oh my God.
You know, because it makes it, I'm like, it's racism and white supremacy, the anti-blackness is so deeply embedded everywhere. There's not one spot. I always say, being Black, there's nowhere where I can go hide my Blackness.
Right.
And everywhere you go, every field, whether you work at the grocery store to wherever, it's always there. And for Cleveland to open their mouth and say, we will never have a Black quarterback, that means we don't care how well, we don't care if God went in his lab and created that beautiful Black, we don't want him because he's Black.
Yeah.
How ignorant.
Yeah. One of my songs is, you don't know what's going on over here. It's say, just shut up.
Oh, I like that.
You don't know. You know, if you haven't walked in our shoes. And so we have. And Donovan got drafted, but let's go through the boo. I hadn't heard that. I guess I didn't do a due diligence on a Philadelphia. I thought, well, that's really nice.
Listen, I went to high school and college. I grew up in Philadelphia. Yes.
I guess. Because we have this aura, this wonderful situation going on that your son is going into the NFL. Unbelievable. Who would think a little Black child of mine, who we tried to do the best we could for both of our sons, you know, grew up to become an NFL quarterback. That's just so unbelievable. So we were in that. We were in the aura of the festivities going on.
Of the accomplishment. Yes, like, look, we are here.
Are you kidding me? And so we get to go in that. And of course, the agent back and forth, it wasn't an easy feat. You know, they were telling we're not going to do this. And then he'd come in the room again and have another discussion on how they're working on that contract. You know, behind the scenes kind of thing before the draft, you know. So they did this, they did that, and what have you. So finally, when we do go and get there and they call his name, that's when you hear the booing. And I'm like, what is that? Really? But I don't
Isn't
know why
crazy?
I should have been surprised, because we've had these challenges every step of the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't know why, but I guess I was.
It's literally like being booed at your wedding day, right?
Yeah.
When you think of all the highlights of your life, you know, NFL, wedding day, those are big moments. So it's like, are you booing me on my wedding day?
Right.
Who invited you in my...
Right. Seriously. It was just unbelievable.
How did Donovan, though, let's get to him. How did he handle these racist elements from the situation in high school to Illinois telling him no, and everybody, maybe you should change your position. And then to him now going to the NFL, like, how did you help him handle and interpret these moments, these Black, unfortunately Black moments?
I'm going to tell you the truth. Donovan helped me handle it. He helped me handle it. He knew I had his back on everything. You know, I would support him if he's doing the right thing. I would always support him. And I said that to this throughout his whole career and everything. One thing that Donovan did was listen. He would listen to us, his parents. He would come to us for advice on anything. So he handled that situation. Growing up in Chicago, it's the most segregated city there is. So we knew how to go, because he had gone through it, he knew how to go through it. So that it just kind of rubbed off his, you know, like water under the bridge kind of thing. We know how to handle it. You're not going to upset me. You're not going to get me off my game with this nonsense that you plan, because I'm a little Black quarterback.
And I think as Black people, we learn to navigate racism.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we learn to navigate anti-Blackness.
Yes.
We don't bring our full selves to work or different in white spaces. It's like, it's this conditioning kind of thing where you always have to take the higher road. You know, Siri, show me the higher road. You'll see Black folks all up in there. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Or Alexa, huh? Alexa, could you show
Alexa,
me the
higher road? Alexa, show me the higher road. Yep. There we all go, Black folks. You
Seriously.
Know what I mean?
Yes.
At work, yes. At the grocery store. It's just the higher road. It's just what we always have to navigate. So he goes to Philadelphia. And it's what was that like for him?
He and Andy Reid, because you have to have your coach behind you. And the coach had, I'm sure he had to fight in that room to draft Donovan as well. So he must have thought highly of Donovan McNabb, because we had never met him before. We never knew him, but he decided Donovan was going to be his guy. And right till this very day, Donovan is still his guy. They are really still close. They still talk. So it was Andy Reid, and Andy Reid helped him navigate. And he had a lot of support. And Team McNabb just stayed in there. We were behind him every step of the way.
Let me just say Donovan's achievements in Philadelphia, because I think they're not appreciated as they should. He was with Philadelphia 1999 to 2009. 8 playoff appearances, 5 NFC East Division championships. That's 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2006. Super Bowl appearance. And that Super Bowl, let me tell you something. I will always believe, I don't care what Patriots fans say, because Jimmy Johnson, the late great defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, who I still think to this day, he's one of the top two, and he's not number two, defensive minds in the game. I mean, Todd Bowles is right up there with him at this point, for me personally. But he called a game in the first half that was just crazy. And then it's like the second half, it's like New England was like Miss Cleo. They knew what was going to happen before it was happening. I was like, what the heck? Did they call Miss Cleo? But tell us about that Super Bowl, though. First of all, going into the game, how was the feeling? Because it was like, wow, your son, your little black quarterback has taken the Philadelphia Eagles for the first time at the time to a Super Bowl. What was that like?
It was exciting again. Here we go with another excitement. And we were just so happy and thrilled for our little boy, for our little son, for our who has become such a great man to me and to his father and to his brother. We were just proud of Donovan. And so when he made it there, it was a wonderful experience. I have to drink wine every time we you know, I have me a little sip of wine to calm my nerves. My nerves were, throughout his whole, I'm just wondering, I'm just so happy I made it through. I made it through the seasons that he made. So it was so exciting. We were so happy for Donovan. You know, it's just so much hoopla to get to there, to get to that point, to even get in there to your seat. By then he had gotten married. We had a baby, and our little Alexis was, they used to say, an arm baby. She was still under a year old. I don't know. I can't remember how old, but I know we were carrying her for the family to go. And finally, to get in your seat and sit down before the game, it's just really a lot. But we were just excited for him, happy for him. And I prayed we'd do okay. And my prayer for every game is, Lord, I'd like for them to win. And that would be my top priority. But just keep them all safe. You know, keep them all safe.
Dear Lord, let the other team lose. Amen.
Amen.
If you so see it right, fit that would in be your it. Will.
Yes.
And then afterwards, Please. Lord, I know we both weren't on the same page today, but get your act together, Lord, for next game. Amen.
For next time. Yes, indeed. So it was an excitement. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. Anybody ever makes that? Now, we're from the draft, had me in that big, you know, halo. And now we're at the Super Bowl. We're back in that same experience again. That's going to just make you, you know, thrilled, happy, just in such a good mood, such a good way. You know.
So tell me about, I don't know how much of it you could touch on, because I know it's been talked about a lot, Donovan's relationship with Terrell Owens. Now, I know, you know, this league is a funny thing and the media is a funny thing, because I feel like a lot of it is flames that are fanned and all of this stuff. Winning in this league is not easy, because if it was easy, everybody would be winning, but everybody wasn't winning. And getting to 5 division. I mean, we know, because, you know, Philadelphia, after, you know, Donovan had, you know, some drought until they won their Super Bowl. But what was your take? Because you're a woman of wisdom. What was your take on that whole, on their whole relationship?
Well, you know, I say receivers are divas sometimes. And so I think that we were just so happy when T.O. came to the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a Hall of Famer as well, you know, a future Hall of Famer we knew, and a very nice person. I remember when he broke his ankle, my husband and I made sure, because he didn't have a wife, but, you know, so we went to the grocery store to his house. Do you hear me? Me and Mr. McNabb, and took everything he would need being convalescent. Because that's what we did as a quarterback's parents, or as my son. He'd had offensive dinners. He'd give them gifts for Christmas. Every year we had an offensive dinner. That included everybody from the linemen to the receivers to the running backs, though everybody on the offense was invited. And we just took them in. If anybody ever needed anything, they could come to Mama and Mr. McNabb. So there was not a bad relationship there at all. Not at all. You know, and it was all good. Sometimes, though, people require more attention than usual. And Donovan had it from us. He didn't have to look anyplace else for it. Some people need a little more care, a little more tender, loving care. And maybe that's what it was.
What did you guys learn about fans, fame, and all of that stuff after the loss of that Super Bowl?
As I tell you, Donovan teaches us every day. There was always a new thing. You know, you have to learn how to lose just like you learn how to win.
Come on. Can you tell that again?
Really, you do. You have to learn how to lose.
You're not going to win every game.
No, you're not. And we knew that during the season. And you should, if that didn't teach you anything at all, you should have learned that, how to lose. And we did. You know, you go through your dad times, your depression, you know, about a week or so. And then you have to pull yourself up.
Listen,
by the
God and I would have had a conversation.
Hey, it is what it is. But I would. I'd be stretched out on the floor. And my friends who knew me said, come on now, it's going to be time for you to get on up off the floor. You know, because there's in the media, you have to go through that. That happens about 7 days. They're going to talk the bad. They just talk the bad every day. It's a new twist.
They're going to blame you for everything, including global warming, honey.
Exactly.
Donovan McNabb is behind global warming.
Yes.
He's the reason why them babies
it's
can't
his
eat.
Fault. It's his
he
fault.
It's his fault.
And see, during that whole Donovan's football season, Barack Obama was our president, and he was from Chicago, too. And they blamed Barack Obama for everything, you know, afterwards.
So he was the Barack Obama of quarterbacks.
Now, you heard me say that. You heard it first. Now I've given you the Team McNabb secrets that we would say, OK, come on, Barack. You're going to be all right. Yes. Just take the blows and let it go. Let it go.
Now, let me tell you, Donovan became the Eagles' all-time leader in pass attempts, pass completion, passing yards, and passing touchdown. I mean, at that time, he was the fourth quarterback in NFL history to amass more than 30,000 passing yards, 200 touchdowns, 3,000 rushing yards, and 20 rushing touchdowns in his career. The first quarterback to accomplish this, you know, were like Frank Turkington, John Elway, and Steve Young, all of that. So it's not like this black quarterback came into Philadelphia and he just skated.
Right.
Donovan achieved.
Yeah.
Donovan achieved. So at what point now, 10 years, 11 years, one place in this league, it's a miracle, right? It's a miracle. So how was it at the end of those 10 years when Philadelphia wanted to move on, but Donovan knew he still had some more play in him?
Well, and that's funny, when he got traded, I remember the place and the time and where we were. And we were all, Donovan lives in Arizona during his off season, and we were there. And it was around Easter time, because we were preparing, you know, the kids at the babies had to get their little Easter baskets and whatever. And it's so odd, because an earthquake happened in California that day. An earthquake happened, and we in Arizona. And so somebody said, well, did you feel that? And we like, huh, what was that? You know, so we were all talking about that little earthquake, and the phone rings and Donovan gets the call.
Did he at that point know that that was coming?
No.
So wait a minute. 11 seasons with a team.
Yes.
And nobody talks to you.
When it's time to go, I guess the relationship is not like it. And I think maybe Andy was in there fighting it, you know, so maybe Andy thought that he'd have another outcome, but the outcome was still the same. So he got the phone
call.
But
nobody has a conversation.
No.
I think that's my thing, that it's so funny because I was reading the LA Times recently about the Jared Goff trade. And, you know, Jared Goff was so vulnerable and honest in that article. And he talked about, you know, five seasons, and there was never once at that point where his coach or anybody came to talk to him and said, listen, we're thinking about doing a shift. Because it's like a car. You're in a car, right? Before you make that turn, you got to put on the turn signal if you're a good driver, a courteous driver.
Yes.
You got to put on the turn signal. Nobody just goes and just whips.
Right.
And just turns into anything. So I'm always like, when you put on that turn signal, we got to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Should. And I don't know if Donovan knew if his dad and he had talked about, I don't know. I just don't know. But I know that phone call came. And so then, and he was laying on the couch. It was funny. And he got up and then he told us, he said, Ma, and he said, I've been traded. And I said, what? And he said, I've been traded to the Redskins. And I said, well, okay. You know, what is, you know, it is what it is. I guess they were moving in a new direction. You know how they tell you on the job. I've never been fired from a job. I try to quit before I get fired, I guess. But well. I guess. But
I'm breaking up with you first. How about that?
Right. So that's the way it
is. So what did you do with all your, I'm sorry, what did you do with all your Eagles gear?
I still have it. Because I'm still...
That
I'm
was a
still,
long time. Yeah,
it was. It's a relationship that we had. We had good times. We met good people there. You know, I still talk to a lot of people from the Eagles and the fans. I know, you know, I learned a lot of people. So they still call me Mama McNabb. And we still talk because Donovan also did his charitable givings. He gave more back to that city than I've ever heard of. So we, you know, virtual... hospital. They have a wing there in the NICU unit called the McNabb unit because my twins were born and they were in the NICU unit. So we did a lot. We sent kids with diabetes to camps and stuff. So we did a lot. So we still talk to a lot. I still have, you know, big time relationships with the Eagles and with the NFL.
Oh, of course. As you should. He goes to Washington and then from Washington to the Vikings.
Minnesota. Yes.
Minnesota. So at this point, you know, you're on the trajectory where you know, you have to think about life after football. What was that like? And what advice would you give other families about that transition from the top towards transitioning out?
Let me tell you how that happened, too. That's funny. You know, once we got traded from Washington and we went to the Vikings and the Vikings, they didn't have a good season at all. When he got he decided to let go. They wanted him to become a backup quarterback towards the end of their season. So they had put someone else in there and Donovan didn't want to do that. So he decided that he was just going to leave. And he gave me a call. It was on a Tuesday. And guess where I was at? I was in the hospital about to have a hip replacement on that day. And he calls me. I think I may have had the hip replacement. And then he calls me and says, Ma, he said, they want me to be a backup quarterback and I'm not. So I'm just going to sit out, I'll leave. And then we'll see if we get picked up by another team later. And I'm like, Donovan, I'm on all these medications. You know, I'm getting IVs and what have you. Why call your father? I said, why don't you call your father? You know, don't call me with bad news. I'm trying to recover. Why? Okay, Ma, I said, okay. I say, are you sure? You know, this is what you want to do, you know? And he said, yeah. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Dude, call your dad. Okay.
I'm sorry, but I got to quote the little owl from Kung Fu Panda. There's no bad news or good news. There's just news.
Okay, just news. Okay.
It's all about the perspective, right? That's my favorite line from the first Kung Fu Panda. They're like, we have to say, there's no bad news or good news. That's just news.
So it was just news. So good news for somebody
on
else.
On a bad day for you.
On a bad day. So it happened. And as I say, I went on home to try to recoup myself and get myself together. And he and his agent they decided to do whatever they decided to do, you know. And we just learned to live, I guess, minus football. It was odd. It was an odd feeling.
Yeah, what was that like? Because people don't understand how much of your life football takes up. Because you can't work in every, you know, because you start off as a nurse, but then I read you went to work in an insurance company because you're like, I'm not working weekends.
Yes.
Because you need to be there for your son.
Exactly.
I mean, you're traveling Saturday or Friday, and then you're traveling out Monday. So your weekends for 13, 14 years is, you know, that's just the pro. College is the same. So what was it like finally to get your weekends back?
It was odd. That's the best word I can come up with, because we missed doing it. You know, we always had somewhere to go on the weekends, and now we're kind of at a standstill and looking at each other and what are we going to do, you know, as far as that goes. And as years passed and we got older, and my husband and I would say, boy, if we couldn't do that now, we couldn't even do that now. So things happen for a reason. It was just, it was needed rest, I guess.
Let's go back. You know, he met his wife, Raquel Nurse, in college.
Yes.
And so let me ask you, having two sons, you know, one is a quarterback, you know, so what advice did you give your boys about women?
Okay. One thing. If this is Black History Month, so I'm going to say what I've told my sons. You're getting another teen secret, but I wanted to make sure, I don't know, that my kids married Black. I used to tell them, Black women want to go pro too.
Mm. Say that again.
I'm sorry to say, if this is across the world, I'm going to hear this on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Who cares? It's your life and your truth.
It's my truth. It is my truth. Now, my daughter-in-law is from, her family's from the Caribbean, but they're from Canada. She played basketball at Syracuse while he was playing football. And I love my daughter-in-law, you know, and people would come to me and say, oh, Mama McDad, why don't you help me get an NFL player? I'd like to get an NFL player. I said, you have to be some kind of woman to be married to an NFL player. I said, I don't know if you can handle that.
Ooh, child.
You know, it ain't an easy feat to do that. I'm telling you. You know what you have to go through with these pro athletes.
You're going to have to go through some racist, some nonsense, and you're going to need a partner that understands that.
But let me tell you, that's funny, because my daughter-in-law hadn't gone through racism like that, according to her. She went along and she learned being with Donovan. She's one of these kind of laid back person. She's not boisterous and loud or anything, but she learned. Living in Canada, I guess she didn't know, because it's funny. Her nephew played hockey, Darnell Nurse. As I say, check it up. He went through a draft in there. I remember her brother and sister-in-law had come to Chicago and we met them. They were playing in a league. And the first time he got called the N-word, that was the first time that Darnell had got called in Chicago now.
It's crazy.
Why you had to come to my home and play in a league? And so they had a discussion with us. How did you handle that? So that was a first for them. And we had to mentor and counsel them on how to deal with that at that time. But it worked out. You know, my daughter-in-law learned how racism affected us in the States.
Yes, because there are different races. There's the Canadian racism, there's American racism, yes. Because anti-Blackness is like a global pandemic that we've been living through forever. Looking back, what's the best advice you ever gave Donovan that he took? Because, you know, we can give them good advice and they don't take it.
Yeah, right. That's true. Because sometimes I'm like, I don't know if he took it or did he hear it or not? Because sometimes you used to tell Donovan things and then later on you'll come up and say, remember, we said, no, I remember. It's like, you don't remember it, do you? Seriously, can't remember. What is wrong with you? So I'm just so happy. I did tell him in the beginning, sometimes you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to listen to people. Don't just run your mouth, sit back and listen. And hopefully, and I know he did listen to his dad and I. Even when his agent was going through stuff. And I think one time, Fletcher Smith, I'm just so happy about Fletcher Smith from Chicago. And when we got his whole team, we made sure we could reach out and touch him. Okay, so you're not far away that I have to get on a plane. You're right in Chicago. I can come right to your office and knock on your door. Because one time I think his agent challenged me. And I said, I'm going to tell you this. He's going to listen to me first. So you can sit there and you can say all you want to say. He should do this and he should do that. I'm going to tell you, he's going to listen to me first. So don't challenge me with that because you will lose. So Donovan did listen. He listened to me. He listened to his dad. And we told him that all the time. Make sure you listen to sound advice.
Sound advice from people who are invested in your happiness and in your health.
Yes. Somebody that got your back. Yes.
When you look back, are there any regrets? Is there anything you wish you'd done differently?
I can't think of anything, Annie, to be honest with you. Things happened and I'm glad they did. As I say, we take the good with the bad. I wouldn't change anything. I was grateful for all that occurred, my good times and my bad times. So I'm grateful.
You know, no matter the ups and downs, I admire the fact that Mama McNabb says she has no regrets. Because honestly, everything that happened on that journey got them to where they are. And so, yes, there is no regrets. I really love having these important, unfiltered, and transparent conversations. And Char McNabb did not disappoint. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't get to it, but Mama McNabb has a CD out. I love the track, When Your Heart Is on the Field. And it's not necessarily just the football field. She says that song is really about your heart is always wherever your child is, no matter what his or her profession is. So please make sure you check that out. Another hard part of the conversation to replay in my mind is hearing racists call your high school child names and all kind of N-word because they didn't want him as their quarterback because he's black. And this is at a parochial school, a Catholic school. Can you just imagine high school is tough in itself. Your kid is actually out there playing and you have adults yelling racist obscenities at your child because they didn't want a black quarterback. And then going through recruiting, looking at colleges in your own home school, Illinois, telling your son that he should have to change position because they don't want a black quarterback. But kudos to the McNabbs for standing their ground and supporting Donovan. Which brings me to today's Annie's Clapback. As parents, we want our kids to succeed, and getting the opportunity to earn a college scholarship is such a huge deal. So many times, parents allow their kids to agree to what coaches want just to get their foot in the door and get that scholarship. But it's so important to advocate for your child. Imagine what would have happened if the parents of NFL Hall of Fame running back Jerome Bettis had listened to the coach who wanted him to play linebacker when he was destined to be a Hall of Fame running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Stand up for and stand up with your child in their quest to fulfill their destiny, no matter the cost. It's so important to teach our kids and to model for them how not to compromise on your dreams and your convictions. As always, thank you for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. We'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, or share the show with someone you think will love it or needs to hear it. See you next time, family.